Good evening again. Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. Good evening, Lord. Father, we have entered into, yes, it's a penitential season to be sure, but just as your Son is 100% God and 100% man, that mystery, that miracle, that incarnation of your Son being made flesh. This season is not just a season of sorrow, it is also a season of joy. And so while we have this season to focus on what your Son did for us, help us remember that we are forgiven. Help us remember that we are both saved and sinners. And may we leave this place shining that truth to our neighbors outside this place, not judging them because we too sin, but forgiving them as you have forgiven us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, I was about to go into fifth grade, and I got to spend, I think, the full month of August with my grandpa and grandma Luckemeyer in Minnesota. And of course, my grandma was a great cook, and my mom took it upon herself to remind, to point out the spare tire that I had from old grandma's treats for cook that she was cooking me. And you know, but also I vividly remember this. There was one time I was running through their house, going up and down the steps, and my hands were extended, and I was pretending to fly an F-16 fighter jet. I know we got some Navy guys in here, but I wanted to fly an F-16. And I remember telling my grandmother that I run it, she's in the kitchen cooking, and I say, "Grandma, when I grow up, I'm going to be a fighter pilot." And she said, "No, Joel, when you grow up, you're going to be a pastor." I don't know how she knew that. My guess is that there were times that she would come in and check on me in my bedroom there. And it was going on like midnight, 1 a.m. And she'd be like, "Why aren't you sleeping?" And she'd be like, "Oh, she saw what I was doing." My sister had given me a book called The Picture Bible, and it was all the stories of the Bible written out, drawn out in comics. And I read that thing cover to cover. I still have it. The cover is torn off. It was well used. And I can remember that one of my favorite stories was King David, or even the shepherd boy David, right before he became king, because it was like this guy is cool. He fought off bears and lions, and he defeated a giant. I want to be like David. Then I started to read the adult Bible more and more, and when I read the story of David, I was like, "Oh man, I don't want to be like David at all." We see in the story of Scripture, we've saw it even in the lesson that we read tonight, this call to repentance and being renewed by God. And it happened. In the garden, it was perfect, it was beautiful. Adam was made out of the dirt, out of the dust, and Eve out of his rib. And of course, there was the fall. And guys, I know that we like to point this out from Genesis 3, but do not quote this to your wives, that God said to Adam, "Because you listened to the voice of your wife," leave that alone, okay? But yes, man fell. They were tempted. Adam and Eve were, of course, tempted by the serpent, and they fell. and yet they were promised. Right then and there, an animal was sacrificed in the garden. And God gave them better coverings than the fig leaves that they had before, promising that, yes, even in your sin, I'm going to cover you in my grace. And we saw this cycle over and over again of Israel, God's people, being saved, pulled out of slavery, to fall again, worshiping an idol in the desert. But yet, the covenant renewed. We saw it time and time again in the book of Judges. And by the way, if you ever have a trouble getting your teenage kids to read the Bible, the book of Judges is awesome to get young guys interested in the Bible. So, a lot of action in there. But then we get to David. He has this king who was set up by God, Saul, to reign over. And Saul actually started out doing all right. But an evil spirit came upon Saul as Saul made the rule more about him than about God. And David, who did heroically slay the giant Goliath, showed so much grace and mercy to this king who wrongly hunted him down. David had a chance to take Saul's life twice and show him mercy. David did it right. And he became king. And he did it right. Until he comes to that point where in the springtime, when kings are supposed to go off and make war, so you can tell that, the story transitions. And of course, David went upon his rooftop and his eyes gazed upon another man's wife. And he fell. We know that. And not only did he fall and commit adultery, but he tried to cover it up. The wife of Uriah the Hittite, one of David's mighty men, one of his loyal servants, a great warrior. David tried to get him drunk and go home to sleep with his own wife, and yet Uriah, even though he was drunk, was righteous enough to say, I'm not going home to my wife while my brothers are out there fighting a war. I will sleep outside. So David, of course, gave a death sentence to Uriah in a sealed to give to his general. And Uriah was sent to the front of the line to die. David was confronted by a prophet. And this always, this is what amazes me as a pastor, whose call is to convict people, to convict the comfortable, and then comfort the convicted. I can't imagine right now going to Vladimir Putin and saying, you're the man, you're the sinner right now, as Nathan the prophet did to David. And David realized it. And he fell on his knees and he confessed. And inspired by this time is this psalm. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. Yep. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me the wisdom of the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit, that I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings, and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. While I have not had an extramarital affair on my wife, much less ever slept with another man's wife, while I have not sent someone to their death, premeditating a murder, there are times where I have read this psalm silently. There are times where I have prayed this psalm out loud, and it felt as though David's words were my very own. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. I remember, especially in high school, just the sinful desires that welled up. It seemed to have a hold on me, something that I couldn't break through, that I felt like I couldn't break away from. And I can remember that there were times where I would go to church and I would hear the law, but I wouldn't always hear the gospel. And I just felt broken, and I also felt dirty and unclean. Have you ever felt unclean when you told a lie? Have you ever felt unclean when you did something selfishly? Have you ever said, you know what? I've got an idea to kind of get back at a person. And you're like, they deserve this, right? And then you do it. And maybe you got a chuckle out of it. But pretty soon afterwards, there was something inside you, and you just felt terrible. Because vengeance belongs to the Lord, not to us. It's interesting. A leper approaches Jesus and says, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. Because the leper was seen as physically unclean. He was supposed to be cast outside of the temple, not allowed to enter in, because, yes, at that point in time, with a skin defect, you couldn't come in the presence of God without dying. And yet, Jesus, the Son of God, came to the leper, touched the leper to make him clean. David, though, rightly gets it. While we might assume wrongly that leper, he was unclean and was a leper because of his sin, we'd be wrong. But we are correct in the fact that we are unclean when we can acknowledge, just like Jesus said in the parable tonight of the sinner beating his breast, when we can acknowledge that we have fallen short, when we can beat our breast, when we, like David, can say, I have sinned, forgive me. That is a sign that the Holy Spirit does indeed dwell in you still. Your sin that makes you feel unclean, it's not just the fact that your sin is what is making you feel unclean, but it's the fact that the Holy Spirit is reminding you that you belong to somebody else. You're a new creation. So, there are times where, yes, we can look at the fruit of a person's life and we can say, you know what? I don't think that person was a Christian. But the truth of the matter is, what lets us know if they're really a Christian or not is when they sin, are you sorry? Are they sorry? When you sin, are you sorry? Can you shout out to David? Can you shout out like David did? Father, forgive me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David was very wise at the end of this. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Basically saying this, you can't buy off God. Yes, there were offerings that were made in the Old Testament. They were sin offerings. You sinned and you brought an animal to the temple to sacrifice, to pay a price. Sin had a cost, sure. But you weren't buying back God's favor with a lamb without blemish. What's interesting is, when David made his confession, Nathan the prophet said to him, you will not die. Quite simply, what happens in church every Sunday, what happened tonight, we confessed our sins. And God called, they called him ordained servant to say, you will not die. What's interesting is, we talked about how there's this cycle in the Old Testament, a foreshadowing of Christ. We were to think that this David, could he possibly be the Messiah? After all, he was promised that his line would forever sit on the throne of Israel. Is this the guy? Well, no, he wasn't. What happened directly after? David repented. Nathan told him that their child, the one that David and Bathsheba had, would die. Their son would die. And we might think, wow, how fair is that? David and Bathsheba are the ones that commit adultery, and their innocent son has to die for that? This is a foreshadowing. When we think of all the names of Jesus, Lamb of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Prince of Peace, Son of God, Son of Man, Alpha, Omega, the Almighty. Who do we say he's the Son of also? The Son of David. Jesus is in the line of David. David and Bathsheba's son that died in their sin took their place as a foreshadowing of their other son in their line. When you read the genealogy of Christ, it is Bathsheba. Bathsheba is listed. She's one of the four women who are listed. God used that sinful relationship to bring us forward. And so, yes, when we feel dirty and unclean, the Holy Spirit points us to the Son of David, who was lifted up on that cross. Not that specific cross there, but was lifted up on a cross for us. And he took our place. But he didn't stay there, did he? He rose again on the third day. And just as we have been baptized into a death like Christ, so too have we been risen in a resurrection like his. You are going to live again. From dust you are, and to dust you shall return. But just as the second Adam was buried in a tomb and rose again, you too are going to rise again. You are forgiven. Jesus Christ. He hears your pleas. He hears your confessions. He advocates for you. He took your place. He lives for you. And you are going to live again with him. Amen?
Amen.
And by the way, you're clean too. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds, and keep them from now until life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.